This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Jason Croft is our technical director. And with me in the studio, dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month to talk about dogs. Here they are. It's the first Friday of the month. This is the day we usually do the show. So here you are.
I'm short today.
Jim has his chair all the way down on the floor. It's gotten a lot of attention, though, hasn't it?
It has.
Strictly
speaking,
we looked
over
my
and said,
chair. I think it
Jim, where'd you go?
Show. Yeah. Well, probably a tall person was in this chair before I was.
Okay. Have you been outside recently?
Not since this morning.
It's beautiful out. It feels just like spring.
Yeah, well, this morning when I stepped out of the house, it was lovely.
What is the temperature?
43.
It's wonderful. A little warm to go sledding.
We have a call.
Oh, my.
Already.
So put your headphones on and we'll talk with a listener who wants to talk about a dog or dogs. Caller in Champaign, line one. Hi.
Hi. I've got a behavioral question for you.
Okay.
We have a 10-and-a-half-year-old dog. It's a Border Collie Labrador mix. She's got a bit of that wacko Border Collie streak in her, so she's more Border Collie than Labrador. And for all of her 10-and-a-half years, her greatest fun thing to do is to play with stuffed animal squeaky toys. She wants us to throw them. She retrieves them. We play with them. She loves to hear the squeak, the whole bit. She's never been interested in rubber toys with a squeak, especially because they have a little hole in the bottom, and when you squeak them, the air comes out. And that's the way it's been for 10-and-a-half years. Last week, somebody happened to give her a little rubber toy about the size of my fist. It's supposed to look like a little bear or something. It's got big white eyes on it, and it's rubber. And we thought, oh, well, she's not going to be interested in this. And strangely, not only is she interested in it, she treats this as it's almost like an object of reverence. You know, when she plays with her stuffed animal squeaky toys, she gets a big goofy grin on her face. She can't get enough of it. This one, she's very serious. If I take it and I throw it, she gets very concerned. She'll pick it up very carefully in her mouth. She'll put it on the floor. She'll lick it carefully. But sometimes, you know, if I stand it up and have it, you know, stare at her, she won't look at it. But then she can't stand it anymore. She'll go over and gently push it over and then start licking it again. And then she wants it by her all the time, but she never smiles. She's not. It's not like a fun thing. It's almost like this is a very serious thing. And we can't figure this out.
She's obviously crazy.
Well, we've been dead for 10-and-a-half years.
I think sometimes there are certain toys that they treat differently. And I'm, well, okay, it's not the same thing, but my dogs are very good with their toys. They don't chew them up. They don't tear out the squeakers. But I purchased for them the most annoying duck. And the duck made this, and it was stuffed, and it's got the little box, so it would quack, quack, quack
right.
all the time. Robbie, I think one day just snapped because he thought if he had to hear that one more time, and he, all that's left of it is the little box. There's no body left. It's gone. So that was out of character for him, and I just figured it annoyed him. So she may just really like this particular toy.
Well it's she's like not... to the exclusion of all else. If, you know, when this toy is in sight, if I try and take one of the stuffed animal toys that she loves and throw it, she will ignore it. And she's never in 10-and-a-half years carried a toy around with her constantly. You know, like some retrievers, they always have to be someplace with their tennis ball.
Mm-hmm.
She's never been like that. But suddenly,
is she spayed?
Thing.
Is she spayed?
Yeah.
Well, there's that theory.
No.
Yeah,
well, no. It's no? She's treating the rubber toy like a puppy.
Well, that occurred to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a phenomenon I'm sure people are familiar with, things that we call false heats. If you have even a real heat, the girl goes through the heat cycle if they're intact, and about 6 weeks, 8 weeks later, they start gathering toys around them and as if they had had a litter. And it's just one of those crazy things dogs do.
Even if they were spayed like 10 years ago?
Well, it's the as she gets older, as with humans, you know, her body changes and her hormones change. She doesn't get new ones, but the balances change. It could be, and my best guess on this is that the odor of this particular toy is substantially different from the odor of other toys she's had, because it's not obviously the material, the rubber, she usually doesn't like.
Right.
And looking at it, you know, we make these toys into things that we can tell it's a gun or a bone or something, but the dog really can't tell that. But what they can tell that we have a lot of trouble with is how does it smell? And so there could be very, very subtle odors in this plastic rubber kind of thing that remind her or set her to thinking of, or, you know, however you want to look at it, what a young puppy might smell like.
Huh.
And so she starts treating it as if it was a puppy.
So maybe she shouldn't throw this puppy across the room
anymore.
Well,
if a dog can be shocked, you know, you can imagine if she had real puppy and you picked it up and threw it, what would she do? She'd go, what are you doing? You're crazy. You know, she's not the one that's crazy. You're the one that's crazy. So we don't know what's going on in dogs' minds, but if it's a behavioral question, she's behaving as if this is a puppy, or at least maybe not her own puppy, but a puppy that needs her protection.
I think that sounds extremely plausible.
Should we let her play with this toy, or should we sort of take it away?
Oh, no, let her have it.
I can't think of any reason not to, from what you described. Sometimes they get very possessive of these toys if they think they're puppies. But she doesn't seem to be, you know, growling or guarding or anything, but she does seem to be taking care of it. So,
but she won't play with anything else.
Well, you can try taking the toy. You know, she goes outside, right, to go potty.
Right.
Take the toy and put it somewhere where she can't see it and see what she does. She'll probably come in and look around for it for a while. But you can distract her with cookies and things like that. And then give her one of her old toys and see what she does.
Okay.
I don't think this is a life-ending obsession or anything
like
that.
Okay.
Yeah,
just,
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as I said, if she was attacking the kids and biting the mailman over this toy, then you'd have a problem.
No, she's not doing that.
But alas, we were just talking. I have a female that on Monday turned 15. And she pretends that she's deaf.
She pretends?
Yeah. Well, if you drop a cookie on the floor, she's right there. But if you say, Annabelle, come on in. Oh, I can't hear you. But she's gone through changes. But, you know, when you have an old dog like that, there are certain things they do that they didn't do before and certain things they're capable of and that they're not. So as they grow old, they change.
She's been waiting all her life for this perfect toy, and all the others she played with just to satisfy you.
I don't think so.
No, she actually, usually she'll come in, give me a goofy grin, run and get a toy, plop it at my feet, and wait expectantly.
Nothing else has changed. You haven't given her a new diet or new drugs?
No.
Or
No.
Nobody new has moved into the house or out of the house?
No. The same old, same old.
My best guess is it's how it smells and what the odor kicks in her doggy brain.
And it's okay to let her just go on with this?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not pathological. It gives her a deeper meaning to her life now that she's old.
Well, how can I deny her that?
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Okay, thanks for the call. Interesting question. Bye-bye. Is this what might be involved sometimes when you see, you know, a story in the paper or on television where a dog adopts in a very maternal kind of way some other animal?
Well,
a live animal?
Being a solipsist, you know, my argument is I don't know what's going on in your mind. How am I supposed to know what's going on in your mind?
I saw something this week. It was a Papillon that had a litter of puppies. The family had taken in an orphaned squirrel. Sometimes, you know, I don't know whether to believe these things or not, if they're photoshopped or whatever. But apparently the squirrel was still nursing, and the Papillon brought this little squirrel in right with her litter. Now, that's pretty intriguing.
The young creatures, human babies, other animals, have very little odor that escapes. So in, as a defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
That's why one reason you have to keep very young babies away from dogs, because they do not smell like people. But that's an aside. I want to warn people. So it's a lot easier if it's a particularly young squirrel for a dog or a cat to say, smells like a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it doesn't smell at all.
But apparently this Papillon, which is a very small dog, dragged the little squirrel cage next to her whelping box. They had a squirrel in the little cage. I guess it's a true story. I don't know. I liked it.
We had a litter of puppies whose mother died right after she gave birth to them. They were Malamutes, and we got a golden retriever.
Are you going to blame me for this again?
No, I'm not blaming you at all. What
I'm
saying
barked.
Is, yeah, well, I said maybe we'll get smart Malamutes out of the deal. I'm not sure I want that. But we got a golden who had her own litter that she had just weaned, and our puppies nursed on her, and she just accepted them right away. And they were older. They're about a week by the time we got her. So, but she put up no complaint.
I think the maternal instinct is so strong.
But they clearly weren't her puppies.
But she did teach them to bark.
She taught them to bark.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Malamutes don't bark, but that litter does.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool.
Very interesting.
Interesting behavior they learned.
Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month, usually on the first Friday of the month, to talk about dogs. So if you've got a question about dogs, give us a call and talk to Jim and Carol. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, and toll-free 800-222-9455, 333-WILL. Toll-free 800-222-WILL. So what's new at the Dog Training Club?
Oh, I was just going to mention for those, it's a little early. It's not early, but Westminster's on this coming Monday and Tuesday evening, starting at 7. And what's nice about this show, it's real time. It's not like the Yukonuba show Saturday night that was actually back in December.
Yeah.
So for dog people, that's two nights where nothing else gets done except watching that.
We have no cable.
Remember what year I was going to tape it for you, and I got home too late in Alaska and Malamute, so like, first.
Yeah, we were greatly disappointed,
yes.
As I recall.
So I got home a little late.
But Robin goes into town, and there are parties. There are Westminster parties. So.
There really are. It's so.
We can't watch it directly.
I have teaching,
so.
Well,
Monday night.
There's somebody here in the building. Well, there's also
a
caller on the line, but we're going to take the call here. But somebody here in the building, they didn't go to a Super Bowl party. They went to the Puppy Bowl bar.
Oh, the Puppy Bowl thing is so fun. Did you watch it at all?
A little bit, yeah.
It's so cute.
And they had a kitten halftime?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's terribly cute.
Let's take another call. A listener in Champaign, line one. Hi.
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 I just had a question about my dog. I have a little sister who decided to shave all of its hair off. And, at first it responded fine, but then it acted a little strange. It seems like it's acting like it's naked or something. Like the dog just acts way different.
I would imagine. It's not that it feels naked. It's they don't have hair like we do. They have fur. Which is hair that kind of grows to a certain length and then stops growing. But you can stimulate growth by shaving it off. So, of course, they're growing new hair all the time and losing hair all the time. Normally in the spring, they'll have a shedding season where they lose a lot of the coat.
Okay.
What's happening, I believe, is that did she shave it or just cut it?
Oh, she shaved it. She took the trimmers to it.
What's happening is if you do cut, for example, we give dogs shots or give them IVs or something. You shave a little thing off their leg so you can find the vein. Well, that doesn't stay naked until they get their new coat. It starts growing hair right away.
Okay.
So what's happening all over your dog's body, it's starting to grow hair, and I'm guessing it itches.
Like a hormonal thing? Or
No, just growing hair everywhere. It's
the dog acts kind of
itchy.
You know,
what's he doing that's different?
He just doesn't. He's not social. He sits in a corner. I don't know.
How old is your sister? I have to know.
What?
How old is your sister?
8.
Oh, boy. I think he might have been a little traumatized.
Okay.
Was there anybody there to help her?
No.
And what kind of dog is this?
It's a mutt. We got it at a pound, so
okay,
I don't really know.
Like size-wise?
Oh, it's a smaller dog, maybe about not even knee height.
That's a pretty good-sized dog for an 8-year-old to hold down to trim or shave the whole body.
I don't know how she did it. I mean, the dog's small enough for the 8-year-old, my sister.
Are there little nicks on his body where she might have cut him a little bit?
I haven't looked too close. This just happened yesterday.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to say he's a little traumatized, and that's, I mean, just imagine he had nobody there to help him. And
so is there anything I can do or give to him to make him?
I take him to the vet.
I don't know. I'm just worried.
Yeah,
I go to the vet and let your vet look at him and make sure that he doesn't have, as Jim mentioned, little nicks. I mean, taking the trimmers for the skin to get caught in the blades of a trimmer, it's pretty easy to do. Unless you know what you're doing. So you might want to do that. I would guess he's traumatized from the whole event.
And you have to remember, their skin isn't like our skin. It's really not made to be exposed to the air and to the elements. And if he lays down, everything feels funny to him.
Okay.
Because he's not used to and not meant to be laying skin on the rug. I mean, it feels substantially different. Everything's different.
Why did she do it? I'm curious.
2 days ago.
No, why?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. She's being scolded by. I think there was more of a curiosity thing. I have no clue.
Yeah, I would think that he's pretty upset.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you take him to the vet, check him out. I would give him lots of liver cookies and things. What concerns me is he might be worried if your sister walks in the room and he.
Yeah.
If you see him react negatively, that can be bad.
Okay.
And the vet...
So you just think it's a temporary thing. You don't think he'll...
It's hard to tell.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. When his coat grows back, he's going to feel a lot better.
Okay.
It's just that we don't know how he's going to react to your sister.
That's a good point, Jim. If he looks scared or uncomfortable when she comes around...
I mean, it'd be the same thing if a little kid, you know, hit him on the head.
The dog can remember.
The dog will remember that.
He'll remember that.
And be a little wary of the kid when he comes in. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something this spectacular. It can be something minor. But this having happened, as Carol pointed out, he probably struggled a little bit, was held down against his will, and something. You know, now he's naked, so he might be a little worried about her. I'd keep an eye on him. But, you know, just the kick up the love a little bit. You're a good dog. Here's a liver cookie. Liver cookies solve a lot of problems. But I would get him to the vet. He may need medication.
Okay. Yeah, I was just worried because, you know, I came home and then there's my dog and didn't have any
hair. Did he have, like, long hair, or what kind of hair did he have?
It is a little bit longer. I don't know, I mean, how to differentiate between a long-haired versus a short-haired dog, especially when it's a mutt. You know, it's kind of a spectrum, I guess. But
You might give him a little more protein so he can grow his hair back.
You might get rid of those trimmers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put him at a higher place. I was kind of I don't know, they were just out. You know, my dad had cut my hair the night before, and then sure enough, Mary comes in and found a new thing to do with the trimmer. So
did you tell your parents what she did? Did they wonder why your dog had no hair?
No, they know. Yeah, they're not as involved with the dog as I am, though. So
yeah.
I'm the one calling.
Is she contrite?
What was that?
Is she contrite? Does she feel bad for what she did?
No.
Oh, gee.
She doesn't.
Yeah. See, there's.
Well, you're gonna have to watch him because the hair. What keeps a dog warm is actually their fat layer.
Okay.
But the hair keeps the outer skin warm. So even though it's kind of warm now, it's going to get cold again. So the hair helps to keep body heat in, obviously, and he's radiating it all over the place. So you may have to kick up his calories.
Okay.
Just to keep him warm. And, you know, at the pet shops, they have those little girly coats you can put on a dog.
Girly coats?
Well, you know.
Little sweaters and things. You might, yeah.
I don't know if Max will like that very much, but I can try.
You could get one of those, you know, and make it soft, like fleece or something.
A fleece blanket for his bed or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just so his skin, well, for one thing, it keeps him warm, because even at room temperatures, he's shedding heat. Their normal body temperature is 101 plus.
Oh, wow.
So he's losing heat quickly, which means he's burning calories quickly. So you might have to kick up his food allotment. I'd get him a little coat or something like that.
But first,
would you recommend keeping him away from my sister for a little bit? I mean, do you think
she has to know that that wasn't the right thing to do, and that she, you know, doesn't do anything like that again. But I would encourage them to get together. I mean, I don't want her to hate dogs, you know, because of some childhood curiosity.
Or him to be afraid of her.
Or him to be afraid of her. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of crazy thing that little kids do.
Dogs just don't stand still for being shaved down.
Oh, he might. Who knows?
I mean, but they don't.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a very clean cut, but most of the fur is gone. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck. Go to the vet.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next, we go to a listener in Champaign on line 2. Hello.
Hi. I was just sitting here listening. Sort of appalled to this whole exchange.
Yeah.
And I'm truly hoping that the child is not left alone unsupervised, and that's why you don't leave 8-year-olds unsupervised, because they do things like this and don't have the best judgment. And I hope that the other guy does take the dog to the vet and make sure it doesn't have any hidden, you know, infected cuts from the shaver. And the child definitely needs to be told this was a completely inappropriate thing to do, and the dangers and the trauma to the dog. And the parents apparently aren't that involved with the dog or the child if she was left alone long enough to do this by herself. So I realize this is slightly off subject.
I was going to say, our expertise is in the canine area.
And I do understand that. I'm just calling to sort of...
You're talking to a group of people that have exactly zero children among them.
Well, and I just wanted to sort of reinforce
It's the kind of thing you don't want her to do again, that's for sure.
And she needs to understand why and not be left alone with the animal at this point. And I do hope that the poor dog, you know, gets taken to the vet and checked out, and then does get some nice...
The family situation, I didn't know if they were all living in the same house together.
Yeah, it was.
Like, I don't know.
It wasn't clear, but whatever it was...
What do we do about the dog? And that's
right.
What we were focused on.
And I didn't mean that to be... I
understand, you know. I'm sure everybody has their own thoughts about everything else.
And I'm terribly worried about the dog, too. But, again, just... Yeah, don't leave the kid alone with the dog.
Yeah, kids left to their own devices, they can always entertain themselves.
Well, because of she might do something, but you don't know what the dog's going to do in reaction. You know, if he was that traumatized, he may see her and go, "Oh, I don't want you near me."
Right, or he could snap.
He could snap, or anything.
And then so for both their protection.
Sure.
I love the show. I don't have dogs myself. I love them, but I don't have any. I have cats, but I always enjoy listening.
We can fix that.
well, I
happen to be in a position.
Sometimes I think I might fix it myself, but just haven't taken the leap.
Well, cats are wonderful creatures.
Oh, they are. They are.
Yeah.
And dogs are too.
Yes.
I just have never quite.
All creatures, great and small.
Yeah.
All things bright and beautiful.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the
on
call.
That poetic note. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's talk with a listener in Coles County on line 1. Hi.
Hi. What I like to know is how can you get a dog to bark? I have a Doberman. He will bark at noises that occur outside the house in the evening, but otherwise he's silent. And what I want to do is to get him to bark when the smoke alarm goes off. I'm partially deaf, and I can't hear the alarm, and I want him to do this. I had a blue heeler that did this very well. But in order to shape behavior, you have to be able to elicit the behavior first. Have you got any ideas of how to get him to bark?
Well, if he'll bark at things that are going bump in the night outside, you can arrange to have a friend outside, you know, do various things to get the dog to bark.
That's a good idea.
And you will know when it's going to happen, so you can do two things. You can say, bark, you know, or whatever command you want to do while the dog is barking, because you know it's coming and you're not surprised. And the other thing is, you know, you can give them the reward at the same time.
Right.
So if that's the only time the dog will bark. But any time the dog barks, you know, you say, you give the command, bark, and give the reward. So the dog over time comes to associate the word bark with barking. And will bark when you say bark, and then look at you and say, where's my cookie?
Right.
I taught Tracy to, she didn't bark, and I taught her to bark by ringing the doorbell. That would elicit a response from her, and I gave it a name, and I often wish I had never done that, because the doorbell would ring and she would go off, but it worked.
You can incorporate that idea, have your friend outside make a noise, and when your dog starts to bark, you can hit the smoke alarm and say bark and give the cookie. This Pavlov wrote a lot about this, I think.
But, yeah, you'll have to associate the barking with the sound of the smoke alarm.
Right. Well, we can do that once I can get him to bark at command. I can shift
How old
over.
Is he?
Yeah.
How old is the dog?
I think that's a good idea, having somebody make a noise outside that gets him going.
Well, whatever causes him to bark, there are helping hands, and I think that's an Ohio-based group. I'm sure on the Internet someplace there are already groups that teach dogs these things for various people to hear things for them or to see things for them, obviously. And I'm sure they have insights into how to train the dogs to do these things. But for the most part, it's just simple associating the behavior with a word and then with a noise like the smoke alarm.
Yeah, that's a very good idea, the outside noise, because that'll elicit the barking, and I can then shift it over. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You bet.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call this afternoon. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, if you've got a question about dogs, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, and toll-free 800-222-9455. Jim and Carol are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Are there smoke alarms that would emit
flash
bright lights or flash?
Mm-hmm.
So that also might be something to think about. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, have those in each room, I guess.
His situation is not unique, and I'm certain that they have telephones that flash and different things.
Maybe call your fire department.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good suggestion.
You know, the non-emergency number, of course, but... Yeah, call the fire department.
It'd be better than the dog barking. It would be the dog coming to him and alerting him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nose,
nudging him or something,
nose right
a specific
in the face.
Response to that. But.
Yeah. And I'm sure you could also train for that. Yeah,
certainly.
Yeah, they have aid dogs of all kinds that do fairly specific things for people, depending on what help they need.
Yeah. And we were going to tell us about the dog training club, but we got sidetracked a little bit by the Westminster show.
Well, we're in the middle of classes. I think we're going into our sixth week.
We have new mats.
We have new flooring, which is remarkable. I couldn't believe the difference it made. comfort-wise.
Well, it's hard to stand on concrete for.
Well, we didn't have concrete, but those mats were, what, 5 years old?
Yeah, they had been pretty well used.
They were very well used. So we have new matting down.
Their spring had sprung.
And when's the next round of classes then?
April, first week in April, we start the second round of classes.
Okay, so if people are interested, now's the time to probably get in touch with you.
Yes, it is. It is indeed the time because.
Fill up fast in spring.
The dogs that were gifted throughout the last season are ready to be. They're in classes now. They'll be in classes this spring. So.
Partner is a noun. Gift is a noun. I'm partnering with. No, you're not. I'm gifting.
I'm gifting.
Re-gifting.
I have the best class right now. It's so much fun. I always have good classes, but this one is really great. And you know.
And here's what's annoying. The last class I taught, there were three dogs that wanted to kill each other. and the handlers were doing a good job. It's just that it's a little distracting when you try. Sit, Fido, and Fido's going, I'm going to kill that dog. I go to watch her class, and these dogs are little angels, you know.
They're wonderful.
What could I do to please my master? I go, well, of course you could train these dogs. This is easy.
But it's so much fun. I'm, you know, look forward to going to class and watch everybody just do so well. And I just am very fortunate. They give me good dogs. Our registrar does.
Let's take another call.
Sure.
Listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi. I'm a sign language interpreter here in Urbana, and I just wanted to add something about the hard of hearing man with the dog he wants trained. There are, we call them hearing dogs for the deaf, and there are organizations nationally that train these dogs to assist people with hearing loss, not only with a doorbell, but to let them know about the alarms and other loud noises if the telephone is ringing. And also, you're right, there are flashing devices that will substitute for the noise in many cases. So I was going to suggest that if the caller is here in this area, he might want to call PACE, which is the local independent what do they call it? Center for Independent Living.
Yeah,
to help people with disabilities, because they can tell you a lot more about what would be available locally.
Yeah, I wonder, he's in Coles County. Do you happen to know if Charleston has a Charleston, Mattoon area would have a...
I think they may have one down there, too,
Okay.
Could you say that? Is
if you want to call, I can give you the local number for PACE here, and they could tell you what the number would be in Coles County.
Is that PACE?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Let me think. Jeez, I'm just forgetting.
Can I ask you a question while you're thinking of the number?
Yes.
So, okay, he has his own dog. Do these places train owned dogs? Okay.
There are places that do that, too. I just looked it up on the Internet.
Okay.
And there's so if he has Internet access, there are at least 10 websites that just popped up. But just put in hearing dogs for the deaf.
And what's the PACE number?
344-5433.
Okay, you want to give it to us once more?
344-5433.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for that contribution.
You're very welcome.
This is the Afternoon Magazine, and our guests this afternoon, dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Questions about dogs are invited this afternoon, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455.
You know, that's something I've always thought about, but if you had, I have two dogs. If I were to have a disability and I needed a dog, would somebody train mine to help me, or would I have to have a dog that's been trained from one of these organizations? I don't know. Or would the cost be so prohibitive to have your own dog trained?
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I can be corrected on this, the expenses are, what do you call it when somebody else pays for it?
Free?
Well, no, but the people get salaries for doing this, but the end user doesn't have to pay too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, yeah, when you get one of their dogs, mm-hmm. I think that's the case. But right. if you wanted to have your own dog trained to help you.
Yeah.
Well, here I did, this is a website. It's
subsidized.
K-9.
Thank you.
It's K, the letter K, the numeral 9, and then man, k9man.com. And here it says there's a link on here, free dog training.
Hmm.
So, interesting.
The price is right.
Yeah. So, I guess it would be a not-for-profit, and they would accept donations mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. do fundraising and that kind of thing, and that would allow
kind of
them
like
to do
here.
This work.
Oh, you mean WILL?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Listener-supported.
Listener-supported.
Bringing us Carol and Jim on the yeah. first Friday of the month.
Yeah, they pay our salaries.
And they're so generous, too, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm going to double mine.
Yeah, let's take another call. A listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good, good. We have a PBGV. He's mm-hmm. about 5 years old, and he's very trainable and a good dog. However, he's got one bad habit, and that is when anyone comes through the to the house, the guest, even a family member, he decides that he has to leap all over them for a good 5 minutes before he settles down.
And that's a problem?
Is that a problem?
No, okay.
Well, they're so cute and little.
Yeah, they're so cute. You don't think that's cute?
So I just wondered if you've got any suggestions to keep him from climbing all over the people as they come in the door.
We had some PVs at our house years ago. Did you ever see the movie Babe? Which It was about
no.
the pig who was
hurting.
It's one of the best movies ever made.
Yes, it is.
Should have taken the Academy Award that year instead of Braveheart. But one of the animal trainers from Australia was on their way to the Malamute National State at our place and talked about the movie. But she had PVs. There's nothing in particular about PVs, but what you're experiencing is greeting behavior. Okay, somebody comes to the door, they come in, the dog goes, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, hello, hello, hello. And that's generally how dogs greet. If you ever see wolves greet, for example, they run into each other, kind of bam, 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 and kind of knock around. To get the dog not to do this, all right, training a dog not to do something is virtually impossible. So what you have to do is train the dog to do something other than jump on people. And the most typical thing is get your ringer, your assistant, to come to the door. So you have the dog on lead. As soon as they come to the door, you run to the kitchen with the dog, or you run to a rug, something. You tell the dog, does the dog sit?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell the dog to sit. The dog sits. You reward the dog. Oh, here's a cookie. All right? And just keep doing that. The reason you do it this way is you are in control of what's going on. You know when the person's going to knock on the door. You've got the dog on lead. And you do this frequently until the dog starts running toward the kitchen or to the mat on their own. Because what's going to happen is they're going to associate somebody coming to the door or knocking on the door or coming in with getting a cookie on the mat. All right.
After he eats the cookie?
What eats it? Well, you have to do a sit-stay.
Just keep him there on his mat.
Keep him there and then have the friendly stranger come in and pat the dog on the head and give the dog another cookie.
Well, that's what we've noticed a little bit, is that if people come in and acknowledge him,
mm-hmm.
he seems to calm down quicker than if they come in and
sure.
by ignoring him, they're going to calm him down. And, of course, it's hard to brief strangers on how to do that when they come in the house.
Exactly. That's why you have to have an assistant who's in on it and
okay.
Who's predictable in order to train the dog. In other words, you don't start training the dog when the stranger comes to the door.
Okay.
Training is totally separate from real life. What you're saying is also true of dogs that go to the window and bark at people going by. Usually they're barking as an alarm. And if you start yelling at the dog or punishing it for barking, they think you're an idiot. Hey, there's danger out there. I'm alerting you to this. Why are you doing this? Whereas if you say, oh, you're right, there's danger out there, good dog, they tend to stop barking a lot quicker. almost altogether. So you're right. If you acknowledge the dog, the dog's just trying to say hello.
Right.
And they're so short, they can't reach the person's face. And I like it when dogs jump on me. I encourage them to do it. But
well, you're welcome to come over anytime.
I should come to your place and go crazy. But a lot of people, like at the dog training club, I'll encourage your dogs to jump on me. And the people go, I'm trying to train him not to do that. Sorry. But that's what you do. You take over the situation. And, you know, spend 5 minutes a day, twice a day doing this. I mean, the dog isn't going to do it right the first time. But I'll bet within 3 or 4 or 5 days, as soon as you hear the knock, the dog will at least start to run toward the mat. I mean, then you know they're figuring it out.
Okay. I'll work on that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
You're very welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana are with us this afternoon. So what's a PV?
Oh, they're so
petite,
cute. Petite Bassette.
Bassette.
PBGV.
It's
a French
Vendine.
French hound.
Petite Griffon Bassette Vendine.
That's why they call them PBGVs. Mary Tyler Moore has PBGVs. They're very cute. They look like shaggy little
bassinets.
Beagles. They're adorable.
Oh, yeah. They're the cutest things on 4 feet, except for Malamute.
And they're hounds, though, and people forget that they're hounds. Mm-hmm. So they have hound behavior, but that wouldn't be objectionable necessarily, but they have hound behavior.
They ain't nothing but hound dogs.
Mm-hmm. So pull one up and look at it. They're so cute.
Okay.
You can hardly stand it.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, you mentioned last time you were here, Marley and Me.
Yes.
And Jim mentioned Babe. Mm-hmm. And I saw a trailer for this film called Hotel for Dogs.
Hotel for Dogs. It's doing real well.
And I think if you were a dog lover or if you were a kid, you'd have a great time at this movie. Apparently,
and if you're a dog-loving kid, you'd go nuts.
You really. They have all kinds of these really cute things throughout
the movie. It's gotten good reviews.
Has it?
They have a vending machine. These kids set up this shelter for dogs in this old abandoned hotel, and they have all these gimmicks. So the dogs, when the kids have to be at school or whatever, the dogs are okay. So they have a vending machine where the dog comes along and puts his paw down, and out of the vending machine comes an old shoe.
I hadn't any interest in seeing that movie, but
it's the late night movie reviewers have
they liked it
more or less given it a good, and it's like the number 4 movie or something like that last week.
Yeah, I think Marley and Me's finished in our community. I didn't see it advertised anywhere. I talked to so many people that would not go to see it because they didn't want to cry. There's one right there.
It's a canine snuff movie.
It is not.
That's what Phoebe called Yeller.
I just thought it was a great movie. Well, it was a whole lot different than Old Yeller. My God, that traumatized me.
Yeah, see.
Had to shoot his own dog.
On the Friends episode, it turned out Phoebe had never seen the ending of a lot of movies, and one of them was Old Yeller. And so she thought the movie ended happily when he defeated the wolf.
You know, to this day, I have not seen Bambi.
Oh.
Oh, that's a hard
mother.
One.
Mother.
Yeah.
Oh, you Dumbo.
Can't, you can't be
when
with
his
your
mom,
mother
doesn't
anymore.
Dumbo's mother die?
No,
you
she
know,
doesn't
I haven't
die.
Seen
In fact,
that
at
either.
The end of the movie, they're back together.
Oh, okay.
See, but it is sad when he's forcibly removed from her.
Maybe that's what it was.
And
see,
she
I
goes
watch
nuts
those as
and,
a child.
And tries to get him back, and they say, oh, she's a rogue elephant. And they
didn't kill her?
No.
See, I couldn't watch that movie. Even as a little kid, I would cry at the opening credits of Lassie when she would hold up her little paw. That was all I needed. It was like talking about Pavlovian theory. It's all I needed. I would just start to cry.
Mm.
My friend Flicka. Oh,
you know, Timmy never got in trouble for crawling out the window after the dog.
Because he was a creepy little kid. He was a creepy little kid.
I don't know about that, but anyway.
I like Jeff much better.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're out of time. We'll do it again next month.
And next month it really will be spring. It'll be the first Friday in March.
Climatological spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month, usually on the first Friday of the month, to talk about dogs. Thanks.
Thank
See
you.
See you next month in March.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.